Good morning. Oh, that was stinky. Good morning. There you go. I'm Jack. I'm new here. So, back after a couple weeks of vacation. Vacation's a good thing. I think we should take like the Europeans and have a month. Anybody with me? That would be awesome. So, some people do. It's called some people in church in the summer. So, take 3 months. But we're glad everybody's here. I'm glad that you're joining. Joining with us online, church online. Wayne is on vacation this week. We'll be making his way back, I believe, today. We tag-teamed out, and I'm here, and we got Fred and the crew. Fred's been gone a couple weeks, too, right?
Yep. Busy working, unfortunately, there not on go. Vacation, but that's all right.
That'll be here, right?
Yeah, I got vacation in a couple weeks. And then
there you go. Play. So, but we're here. He's got his I forget it. I was going to say something that wouldn't have been appropriate. All right, so, but what we want you to do, we're just glad that you're here. Welcome to Haven Community Church. If you're visiting, awesome. Great to have you with us. But we're here for one thing, and that's to connect to God, right? Everybody ready to connect to God? Are you ready? All right, let's stand on up. We're going to worship God with some songs. As I said, our fearless leader, Wayne, is away on vacation, so you got to fill in for his voice and keyboards, and we're going to just worship God. Let's start with a prayer. Lord God, we're glad that you brought us here today. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit in this place. And for all who may be watching online or part of this worship in some fashion, maybe in the future or even here in person, that God, you just touch their heart in a special way. For this and all things, we ask in Jesus' name that your presence just be here in a mighty way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Will rises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. And strength will rises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Our God, you reign forever. Our home, our strong on wings like eagles.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Our God, you reign forever. Strong deliverance. on wings like eagles.
Boy, that is a song for breath control right there. Right off the woo. Boy, you take a few weeks off of singing, boy, you know it.
Put your hands together.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name. Call on our Savior, fall on your grace, yeah. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we've come. We're gathered together to lift up your name. Call on our Savior, fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we've come. We're gathered together, lift up your name, call on our Savior, fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God says there is hope in your name. Morning turns to songs of praise. Our God says, our God says.
Church out there this morning, raise your hands to the Lord. We love them.
And hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see. Our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning turns
give
you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
Ready, man? Here we go.
I will worship.
I will worship.
With all of my heart.
With all of my heart.
I will praise you.
I will praise you.
With all of my strength. I will seek you.
I will seek you.
All of my days.
All of my days.
I will follow.
I will follow.
All of your ways.
All your ways.
Let's sing it. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone.
Turn to see if you can sing louder than the guys did. Come on.
We can do it.
I will bow down.
I will bow down.
Hail you as king.
Hail you as king.
I will serve you.
I will serve you.
Give you everything.
Give you everything.
I will trust you.
I will trust you.
I will trust you alone.
Trust you alone. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
All right, everybody.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of
my praise. One more time, here we go.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
Lord God, we just praise you and thank you that you have inhabited this place and that we can praise you and glorify your name. You are mighty and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's kids say, amen. Amen. Say hi to somebody. All right, how you doing?
Welcome back, Jack.
Thanks. It's nice to be welcome. You sound like the TSA guy at the airport. Hey, welcome back. No. They were actually great this time. It's like scary how easy it was. So Except for one thing, I'll talk about it later. All right, welcome. Glad you're all here. If you've been here the last few weeks and you haven't seen me, I really am the pastor here. And I take a very few breaks, but I'm glad to get one with the family. We had a good time. We did come back, brought something back off the plane where we all where several of us had 100-degree temperatures, me included. I don't have that now, but I am coughing. So if I go into a coughing fit here, it's not a Pentecostal fit that I caught in Mexico, just to let you know. But it may be. You never know. So we'll go with it. All right. But it'll be good. But pray for Hannah particularly. Hannah had 103-degree temperature today. So I had 100 the other day. Slept in bed and sweated a lot of it out, so I'm good. Judah has a cough. Rachel's just kind of coughing. And Miguel's perfect as always, right, Drama Gale? Right, Princess? There you go. Jacob, he must be here. So I hope he's perfect too. We had a really good time. So my thanks to the Elder Cohen, as I call him, Dad, for being here on 4th of July weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed him. And Tim, last week, Tim really feels God calling him to ministry. And so I'm glad that he was able to go ahead and fill in and connect. And we may see him doing some other ministry things here to help him in that venture. So I was glad he was here as well. But like it or not, I'm back. So here we are. So let's go ahead and take a look at some things. August 14th, we will be having our new membership class if you're interested. Baptism certificates, Debbie DeVirgilio has them as well. You can see the information about middle school teachers needed primarily for the fall. If a couple people fill that in, then you just have to cover a little bit of time to do that. Sunday prayer time, they're joining at 9:30, and you may have seen a group up here praying. They're praying for the church service. And I'll come back to Radical in a bit. Monarch Ministries, which are helping support. I don't think people have an insert today. Some may not. But for those who are wanting to help with that and you need a list, if you see Shelly, right, Shelly, wave your hand. Shelly has that information. Or you can go ahead and email her if you're watching online and make sure. If you're watching online and you're not nearby and you'd like to contribute financially to that, just please go ahead and add that as you normally would to your gifts online and just specify for that, and we'll be glad to help make that happen. Parish Foundation, next one is today, right? How are we? We're awesome. I always love when I get a thumbs up from Bonnie a week before or the day that says we're good, and thank you for continued help with that ministry. I do want to talk about Radical. I know Debbie introduced that last week. Radical, what do you think of when you think of Radical? Having trouble with that, okay? So, Radical. I want to show you this brief video. Melinda, you ready for the Radical video? And we're going to show you this really quickly.
The mantra of the American dream is to advance yourself with hard work, ingenuity, innovation. You can have it all. The frightening reality of the gospel. Jesus does call us to give up everything we have. We have a master who demands radical obedience. A mission that warrants radical urgency. And we do not have time to waste our lives living out a Christian spin on the American dream. The most glorious reason you exist is for the proclamation of the glory of God to the ends of the earth. And it's more than having a nice life. It's about giving our lives and our families and our jobs for the proclamation of the glory of Christ to the ends of the earth. If we're going to live for the sake of 4.5 billion lost people and thousands and thousands and thousands of kids who are dying every day because they don't have food on their table, then that means radical change in our lives and our families. Church,
we are plan A, and there is no plan B.
All right, so what do you think? That's radical, right? Anybody ever heard of David Platt? This is a book written by David Platt that did a series, and it's an awesome, awesome book. It will step on everybody's toes
and it'll push us closer to Christ. So that's one of the reasons why we're doing it. This is a time where I think many of us are looking at our world. I'm talking with a number of people. One of the interesting things about being in another country is to get a lot of different other countries' perspective on our own election and other stuff. It's really interesting to hear what other countries say. Guess what? It's a lot what people are saying in this country. It's really interesting, depending upon where they are. But one of the things that we need, I think, more than ever, is our church needs to be radical. And we need to, one of the things that's consistent is our, and this is something that's come up a lot, our Americanized Christianity is not the Christianity of Jesus Christ. And that's one thing we need to recognize. And so this is going to force us to take a look at that and who we are. So I challenge you. It's an awesome, awesome book, awesome study. Debbie and I prayed over it. We went through several different things, and we came to radical. And so David Platt is somebody who you will... I know last year we were able to begin to introduce some people to Stephen Furtick through Sun Stand Still, and a lot of people are like, wow, what a really cool guy. David Platt is equally that. He's definitely a prophetic voice in this world today. So if you'd like to join that, we will begin, much like we've done our other series. There will be sermons that go along with that. There will be small groups. If you want to sign up for that, we do have a clipboard on each of the chairs. If you have that, just pass that down, pass that back. You don't need to pass it across the sections. If you'd like to join up, you can also do that online as well, and so and connect. If you have a question about it, you can just go directly to info@havencc.org, and we'll make sure that information gets to you. But I challenge you to really take that step to really challenge your Christian faith and really begin to see where God is leading you in this church. All right. So, any other announcements that we need to make briefly? Okay. All right. We want to lift up some on the on the prayer request. Barbie Morningstar Phillips, where is she? There they are. She and Mike are now married. There you go. And she's got this horrible prayer to safe travels on their honeymoon. All right? So we want to definitely have that. And congratulations. I know you guys had nothing hectic for the last couple months, just getting going, combining two houses into one and all this kind of stuff. But congratulations to you, and we are very thrilled for you. And enjoy that honeymoon, that's for sure. Joanne, prayers for her husband, Tim. He's getting tests done for his heart. So where's Joanne? Okay, so we want to definitely lift Tim up in your prayers. Again, keep the sickness in my family, that they get better. I know you feel sorry for me after I've been on vacation and I work, got a sickness, but continue to do that. All right, anybody else? Yes. Oh, Jill's traveling to the Netherlands this week, so we want to lift up her prayers, her in your prayers as well. Yes. That's right. Heather Perner, who is on a mission trip to Dominican Republic. So we want to lift her up in your prayers as well. Others? Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for that you are a God of all things, that you know everything before we even lift it up. But as we do that today, we ask for your healing touch upon anybody who needs that. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be in this place. And God, ultimately, we for those who are traveling on vacations and time to get rest and recuperated for the work that you would have us to do, we give you thanks during this time. And God, we know that we want to celebrate the joys of birthdays and anniversaries and new marriages and honeymoons and those things. And we're just thankful that you love that. Matter of fact, your first miracle was at a wedding. So God, we know that you love these main events. And so thank you for that. For others that are serving you, whether being a mission trip or for others who may be struggling with some kind of illness or need tests done, such as Tim, God, just bring your healing and your presence there, that ultimately in all this, in all things, that we can find you and find trust and hope in you. So God, in the remainder of this time, we just ask that we set aside ourselves in a true act of worship, of giving of ourselves to you, as your Holy Spirit now moves in this place and in each of our lives, that you would have us hear what you have for us. And Lord God, ultimately, that as we give these gifts and tithes to you and offerings to you, that you would multiply them as you did with the fish and loaves, not to keep here and to build up our bank accounts so we can say, look at us, but God, ultimately, that we can do the ministry that you've called us to. Because we know there's so many hurting people. And if the theme of the day is baggage, we know a lot of us, even in this room, are carrying around a lot of baggage. And God, it is only your Holy Spirit that can release us from that. So all these other things, God, we commit the, all of us to you right now. Bring your Holy Spirit in a powerful, mighty way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let faith. Good morning. Today's reading is from Psalm chapter 109, verses 23 through 26, and verse 31. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them.
Right, here we go. Baggage. How many have it? Whoever doesn't lift their hand, it's probably your baggage is too heavy to get up in the air, right? That's usually how it works. hopefully I won't cough too much through this. But if I do, oh well, you'll deal with it. All right, so I'm just glad to be back, glad to see everybody here. And we are starting a new small series leading up to our radical series called Baggage. And I thought of it, number one, because we were traveling, and this is some of the baggage that we take with us. Matter of fact, I have a picture of us, how we drove to the airport. Can you show that, Melinda? There we go, right there. That's us. And most of that's mine, I think. But literally, it was probably close to that, wasn't it, Miguel? We had a carrier on the roof. It was full with the two big ones, and then we had we just carry a lot of baggage with us. We actually have. I find it interesting when you travel. And how many of you have flown lately? And it's really interesting. We flew out of Philadelphia, and one of the things about flying is that who knew there was all these classifications about baggage anymore, right? You have all kinds of stuff. You have the bigger ones here that you check in, right? You check in that luggage, but it can't be over 50 pounds, right? Because over 50 pounds, what happens? You got to pay. So actually, in one of these bags here, I'm not sure which one it is, in one of these I actually have a scale, one of those hand scales, where I'm like, you know, anybody do that? Like you weigh them and check and say, okay. And if it's like 48, you're afraid that their scale might be a little bit, so you're pulling stuff out, and you're putting here, and you're weighing them, and so you mix some stuff around. You have another one, which is kind of like, it's like this little one here, which is a carry-on, right? Carry-on, you take it, and it fits in that little thing there, and there's a story about this one. I'll share that one. But you carry it on, and you stick it in the little thing there, and then you carry it on, you put it up top. So there's that one, too. And I find out that a lot of airlines now charge you for the carry-ons as well. Did you know that? So I found that out, too. And then you have your personal item, which could be laptops, purses and laptops. Next time, I'm going to bring a man bag just so I can get away with the carry-on issue. So anyway, but there's all kinds of different things, and you better not have certain things in there, certain liquids, certain amounts, right? There's all these kind of things about the baggage that you're allowed to take on. But it's really interesting. If you pay the price, you can take on stuff, more stuff, right? I remember one time when the kids were real little, we took a bag that was like twice that size. It was huge. And we filled it with everything for our kids, because we thought, oh, wow, we'll just take one bag. Oh, no. It's better to take five different ones or seven different ones that you have. So anyway, you understand what we do. So there's all kinds of different luggage that we have. Now, that's what we're going to talk with today. We're going to talk about baggage. Because much like these, we all have different types of baggage in our life. And some of us just carried around with us for a while. I was so tired, not feeling well when I got home on Thursday night, that I just left the stuff in the car. And I had to meet with somebody in the morning, and so I just carried it with me to there. And that's how some of us do in life. We just carry stuff around with us. And then if one gets a little weighty, we just shift it to the other bag. You know, and that's what we do throughout our whole entire life in baggage. Now, I told you there's an interesting story about this one. This one is a carry-on, right? And so we got to Philadelphia, and Hannah had this one because Hannah's Hannah, and she was not going to check in anything. And we weren't going to check it in because you had to pay for the check-in bag, and we paid for them already, and I wasn't going to pay the ungodly amount that they were going to do that. So this fit in this one. It actually fit in the, like, personal item one, too. But I guess they don't figure, like, this is your personal item. I think it kind of looks like a nice personal item for me. But anyway, so we went down. We got to Philadelphia. They said, put it in. Said, no problem. Carried it on. No problem. It was awesome. We went. We got. We had a great 2 weeks. We came back. We were first in line at the airport in Mexico to go ahead and come back. Rachel got something else that I had to pay money for to get back. And then this one came up, and I get back, and I see Melissa going. I'm like, what? Uh-oh. So I get back, and they said this is not a carry-on. And I see Melissa putting it in the carry-on thing and pointing at the lady. And I said, she says it doesn't fit. I said, looks like it fits to me. She goes, look. And she took something out of the front pocket and said, it fits in the personal bag. And the lady's like, no. And I'm like, yes. Yes, no. Well, if you want to check it in, it'll be $40. Oh, hold on. But if you want to carry it on, it'll be $45. Now, we had put all the souvenirs in this one because we just don't trust other people carrying our baggage. How many of you would that preach, right? And so we went ahead and we're sitting there. And then this other guy, and I understand enough Spanish to go ahead and understand that they were just telling me, they were said some things and they were saying, just skip them. And they told me to move out of line. And I said, oh, I'm not moving anywhere. I did it very holy-like, but I said, I'm not moving anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And the representative was there to help us. He's on the phone. I said, we'll wait for him. And so went through all this stuff. Long story short, nobody can do anything. So we had to pay $45 for this bag. I said, in Philadelphia, it was free. They charge you to breathe in Philadelphia. How are you charging me to get it back? Not my problem. So I was not a happy camper. But what I did learn is, as I said, if you pay for it and you're willing to pay the cost, you can carry any baggage you want with you. And that's how many of us live our lives. If we're willing to pay a cost, a deep cost in our lives, much more than $45, you can carry whatever baggage around with you. But eventually there's a time where you're going to break down with that. I want to read Psalm 109 to you. Psalm 109, beginning with verse 22. And many of you will relate to the words of the psalmist, of David. He says, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. He continues and says, help me, O Lord my God, save me in accordance to your love. And here's the good news. For the Lord stands at the right hand of the needy one. Now some of us, I think so many of us relate so well to that first part, that I'm poor and needy and my heart is wounded. Help me, God, help me. But we forget the last part, that the Lord stands at the right hand of the needy one. So I want to tell you, if you're in need here today or you're hurting, God is here with you. He stands at the hand of the needy, and he will save you from those to condemn you. I titled this week's sermon, Baggage Claim, and next week we're going to look at emotional baggage. And next week, with emotional baggage, we're going to look at how we overcome the emotional baggage that accumulates in our lives. And today I'm going to challenge you to prayerfully and honestly answer this thought. I want you to acknowledge this is going to be number one. I want you to acknowledge your baggage. Acknowledge your baggage. We've all got it. I want you to acknowledge it. I want you to recognize. I want you to say, I got some baggage. Look at the person next to you and say, I got some baggage. Look at that person on the other side. Say, you got some baggage. Now grab the hands of both people and say, we got some baggage. All right. All right. We all got some baggage. We all have baggage. We all deal with that. And so first thing I want you to do, if you are like me, this is the hardest step, to acknowledge that you have baggage. Because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like to talk about my baggage. I don't want to talk about it. I like to keep my dirty laundry in my closet. And if you're like me after vacation, you go ahead and you throw the dirty laundry in the baggage with you and take it on, right? And you have that. And so I don't want to go there. I don't like to think about it. And that's just how most of us are. But let's model the words of Job. Job in Job 7:11 says, therefore I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. In his anguish of the spirit that's going on in him, he's going to speak out and talk about it. And that's what I want to challenge you to do. So I told you to acknowledge your baggage. And here's where we're going to begin to get a little more radical with our baggage. I want you, let's pick a good one. I want you to name it. Name your baggage. Go ahead, write it down. I left you a space. That means you got to write it down. That's what preachers do. I want you to see, the baby even said, yep, you got baggage, all right? So here you go. I want you to write it down. What is the baggage that you have? Now, I'm going to give you some hints here so that you don't have to, you might feel a little bit better. Today, there are many people with spiritual baggage. Many people have a lot of spiritual baggage. It may be something that they grew up in a very bad teaching that was a very legalistic mindset, and they became they were surrounded by people who were really spiritually judgmental, and it warped a sense of what church and what God is and who God is. Maybe you have a predisposition against church in general because you've seen so much stuff, or you heard something bad about church or had a bad experience, and so you don't really like the term church anymore. Maybe it's with God. Maybe life didn't turn out the way you thought it would. And you've got some major issues with God. And you're saying, this is my spiritual baggage that I have here. Or maybe it's God's people. You've met enough of them. And you found out that a lot of them just aren't nice people in life. That you have turned to actually hate a lot of Christians. And when you hear the term Christian, you just say, all Christians are hypocrites. And that's your baggage that you have. The bottom line is, that's the baggage that you have. And the bottom line is, most Christians are not hypocrites. Most Christians are just sinful people who are trying to find God in their lives. That's why they're here. But it's, as my dad used to say, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. It's the squeaky wheel that you always hear. And it's the one that gives the Christians a bad name, that always seems to always just go the wrong direction. They're not ungodly. All Christians are not ungodly people. Maybe there's others of you that you have relational baggage. Maybe that's what you have. Maybe you have relational baggage, that you've had relationships that are broken down. Along the way, you may have trusted somebody. Anybody trusted somebody? Anybody broken trust with you? And maybe you're just not willing to be vulnerable or to trust anybody anymore. You know, one of the things I want to share with you, I want to share with you some amazing statistics that I found. And they're not good statistics. Statistics show in our world of abuse that at least 1 in 4 girls will actually be sexually molested in their lives. The sad thing is so often it's done by a family member or by someone in a position of authority. Think about the baggage. And many of you know all too real that baggage that you have to carry around with that and how weighty that baggage becomes. And it's not something that we talk about. But then along what I find out with baggage, let's say with this baggage, then along usually comes another baggage with this that you say, I was molested, and then becomes the wrong mindset, the wrong thought, and you start to say, well, maybe it was my fault. Maybe I shouldn't have acted that way. Maybe I shouldn't have done this thing. And then they begin to have a non-biblical view of their own lives, and they begin to say, I'm so messed up. I'm warped. And this baggage keeps building up and building up unless we take it and we go ahead and give it to God. And that's what we need to do, because we all have baggage, but God wants to take it. And so To start off, what we want to do is to prayerfully and intentionally, we're going to learn how to give up our baggage. And I'll start the series off by how are we going to give our baggage to God, let go of our baggage. And we're going to do that through three prayers, all right? Three prayers. And these three prayers that we're going to see, it comes from Romans 12. So let's look at this first section. Prayer number one, God help renew my mind with truth. God help renew my mind with truth. All right? Let's say that. Say that with me. God help renew my mind with truth. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed, be changed, become different. Now, how do I become transformed? How do I become different? By what? By the renewing of your mind. Okay? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, do not be like the world, but be changed in the way you think. God, help replace the lies that so often come to me that give me this baggage with your truth. God, renew my mind with your spiritual truth. The problem is, so many of us hang on to lies in our life. Now, how many of you have ever vacuumed? How many of you love vacuuming? You can come over to my house. It kind of feels good after vacuuming. But I want to tell you, there is specific things that everybody does vacuuming, right? You vacuum. Now, some of you may be the pulled way. Some of you may like to have vertical lines going each way so it looks like the outfield of, you know, a stadium, whatever. But one of the things that's consistent when you vacuum, at least that I see, is you come across that one piece of lint. You're with me now, aren't you? And you go, right? You're going at that piece of lint like crazy, and it finally, it won't come up. You're doing everything. And you know what you do? You walk over, you pick it up, and you drop it back down. And am I right? How many of you do that? Everybody, it is God's will that that happens. We just do that. That's what we do. That little piece of lint does not go away. And it's kind of like the wrong mindset in our lives. No matter what we do to it, it doesn't go away. And so many of us are locked in and we believe the lies so long that they actually become truth to us in a warped sense. And the life that we live is a life according to lies, not the life according to the truth of Jesus Christ. We need to acknowledge our baggage. We need to acknowledge our baggage. If I'm honest, one of the baggages that I have in my life is perfection. Guess what? I'm not. But I hate that I'm not. And I know that comes from very different places. I know that as a preacher's kid, there were certain things that I thought I had to do, or at least an appearance that I thought that he needed to make. I know that in many parts of my life, I wanted to put on some way that everything's perfect in my life, when meanwhile, all hell could be breaking loose. And it's a weighty thing to do something that only Jesus can do. And it's an impossible thing to do. But you carry that baggage around with you, and in every situation, you try to be perfect. And guess what? If you try to be perfect, or you try to be everything for everybody in life, guess what? You can't. And you end up not... You end up believing that if you're not perfect, you're what? A failure. It's one or the other. There's no gray if you believe that you got to carry around perfection, right? And so when you fail somebody, you are the failure, not them, not anything else, not the situation. You're the failure. And guess what? When you are trying to be perfect and then you add to it failure, it starts to get weighty, right? Okay, so for you, it may not be perfection. For you, it may be something completely different. But I guarantee you, one will lead to the other if you don't allow God to take that baggage from you. God in his truth sets you free. I'm not sure what yours is. Yours may be that you may have thought, I can never have a good marriage. There's no way. I've been through too much. You don't know the family that I grew up in. You don't know the marriages that have been an example. It's eventually going to be bad. I know that I can't do that. That's a wrong mindset. Maybe for you, it's you can never make a difference in the world. I'm small. I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. And you know, there are many, many men and women who just feel like they're incapable of ever doing anything. They feel like they're ugly or that they can't. They're no good to anybody. And that's a lie, and that's not true. I know many talented men who feel insignificant and incapable of making a difference. I know people who are addicted who say, I just can't get over this. I know broke people who think they're always going to be broke and never get out of it. These are lies, complete lies. I know rich people who think, I'm just going to be selfish for the rest of my life and don't even begin to think about the possibility of being generous. These are all lies that we live by. So here you go. I'm going to hit you again with a specific. What's the wrong mindset that needs to be renewed, that needs to be renewed in your life? What's the wrong mindset? I'm being specific about this. If you don't do it here today, do it this week. Make sure you do it. Otherwise, you're going to carry baggage. Acknowledge it and ask God to help renew your mind. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, 22 and 23. You were taught. That means it's something that you learn. You were taught to what? Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made what? And where are we made new? In the attitude of our minds. Joyce Meyer had a book. Anybody remember what it's called? The Battlefield of the Mind. That's where sin gives birth. That's where Satan is his playground, in our minds. That's why we're to put on the helmet of salvation. When we put that on, we know whose we are. So our prayer is, God, help renew my mind with your truth. And all of a sudden, the baggage starts to go away. God, help me renew my mind with truth. Prayer number two. God, help restore what's lost. Everybody say that with me. God, help restore what's lost. Help restore what's lost. Many of you relate to the pain of this verse in Psalm 71, verse 20. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth, and you will again bring me up. That first part, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter. Anybody here ever seen anything, any troubles, anything bitter, anything that you wish you could, like, just like a computer and zap it out and never see it again in your life? But you will restore my life again. There are some of you that are so discouraged right here at this moment that you feel low and you feel like you have no hope at all. God specializes in finding what was lost and restoring that which is broken into restoring where it needs to be, not where it shouldn't be. I want to give you an example of this. How many watch TV? All right? We watch TV. And I've shared this before, but it just seemed to fit. We watch TV, but how many have a remote? How many watch TV without the remote? No. I will turn the house over to find the remote. I won't go up and turn the knob or button and push. Remember, he had to turn the knob. I will go ahead. I won't push the buttons. No, 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 no. I want the remote. I will have a family meeting. Get in here. If my kids were in here, I would say, get in. You find the remote. I'm going to start whipping some butts around here. Dad, I'm 18. I don't care. I'll whip it. I want the remote. And, you know, now you don't just have one remote. You got, like, 45. And if one's missing out of that, like, litmus test or checklist, you can't turn on anything. I want the remote. If something happens to me or the boys, Melissa and the girls will never turn on the TV. They won't know how. It'll be on the same channel forever. And she said, I don't care. But I want the remote. You were playing games, and there's this one that's kind of slanted, and when Judah was real little, he called it the up and down remote. And I am a grown 45-year-old man screaming, where is the up and down remote? Right, Emma Gale? Yeah, see? I yell, I want the remote. I will not turn a thing on without the remote. If I lose the remote, I will turn the house upside down until I find it. And you know, as much as I love the remote and need that remote, God so much more loves lost people. And he loves them so much that in Luke chapter 15, he told three stories about it. Powerful stories. If you've been around this church for a while, you've heard them all. One is about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one wandered off, and he left all 99 to go find him. And when he found him, he picked him up, and he took him home and rejoiced because the one that was lost was found. He tells about a woman who had 10 coins, and if she lost one of them, she tore her house apart. It was like her remote. She tore it all apart. And when she found it, she called everybody together and said, "I found my lost coin, I found it." And they all got excited and threw a party. And then the last one is about a father who had 2 sons. And one son said he wished he was dead and give me my money and took off and left. But each and every day, even though the son basically said, "I hate you, Dad. I wish you were dead. Give me my money," and left. Each and every day, the father would stand there day after day, month after month, year after year, looking and waiting for his son. So much so that when his son finally had lost everything, was coming back and going to say, "I'd rather just be a slave in your house and I'm not worthy to be your son," the father ran and met him and kissed him, wrapped his arms around him and said, "My son," and killed the fatted calf and threw a big party. And in each of these cases, Jesus shared something very important, that you matter to God. More than when I find the remote, I'm like, finally. But when God finds lost people, it's like, yes. And what are lost people? They're simply those who live a life outside of God's will and his calling. Is, you know, as I said, all my life hasn't been a gem. And you've heard me mention before Jack Cohen, the college years. And when I had a call into ministry for Christ, I wanted everything else but. And I tried everything else but. Hoping God would just keep on moving along, move somewhere else. And I thought, if I was so bad doing all the things that my parents and my upbringing told me I shouldn't do, then God would obviously go to the next person who's much better than me. Wrong. But I will tell you that God restored those years of my life to me. In blessings. Now there's things, go back to that last verse, things I've saw and things I did and that pain that I wish I could zap away. But you know what? God has used, I'm not saying do them, but God has taken them and brought healing through a long process and still is in my life in order that he's glorified in it. And that's the joy. You have something. God does something that we can't just explain, but he does it spiritually. God restores something that I tried to throw away or lost. And so I want to ask you, what is it that God wants to restore in your life? That's a blank I have there. You got to fill it in. What God wants to restore, maybe he wants to restore your faith in him or your faith in even believing there is some good or hope in this world. Maybe he wants to restore your hope. You just don't have any hope right now because every time you put hope in something, it's fallen apart. Maybe he wants to restore intimacy in your relationship with him or with someone else. What is it that God needs to restore in your life? Jeremiah 30:17. Let it speak to you where it says, "The Lord declares this, but I will restore to you your health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord." God specializes in restoration. Now before our third prayer, I'm going to take a drink before I hack up a lung. And I want to tell you a story. There's a story of a lady on the West Coast who enlisted and this was like around 2005, early 2005, who listed a 2004 Mercedes G-Wagon for sale. It was black on black. It had low mileage. It was fully loaded. And she listed this car for sale in the newspaper for, believe it or not, $50. You can only imagine when the newspaper came out, ring, 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 ring. Oh, the phone was just ringing off the hook. Well, the first caller said, "Now, is this really for sale? Is this the real deal for $50? She said, "Yes, $50. He said, "Can I come see it?" She's like, "Come on over." So he's like, "Bruh!" He got there real quick. He went and looked. Beautiful. Pretty much brand new. Just beautiful car. Leather interior. Had fully loaded. Everything was awesome. And he says, "Do you really want $50? She said, "Yes, sir, $50. He said, "Well, I'm going to give you a full price offer." He opens up his wallet. He pulls out. He gives her a $50 bill. hands it to her. She gives him the, she goes, let me go ahead and get the title. She gets it. She starts to sign it off to him, and she gives him the keys. And he said, do you mind me asking you something? Why are you offering this car for such a reasonable, I mean, very low offer price? She said, well, it's my husband's car, and he left me for a younger woman. He said, he's in some other area of the world, and he's playing with his little chickie. And he told me, I don't want anything else. I want you to just sell the car and give me what you got for it. She said, so it's $50. All right. This leads us to our prayer number three. God, help me release my wrongdoer. God, help me release my wrongdoer. All right. The truth is, so many of us carry around baggage. We carry a lot of baggage from what people have done to us, from the effects that people have made on us, that the words that people have said to us, the things that people have done to us, the social media posts that people wrote and hinted about us, we carry them around, right? And this verse of scripture is something that really will go ahead and help you do that with them. And it's simply this. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and do what? Oh, I hate that word, don't you? Everybody say, no, God. Oh, you must like it. How many say, no, God? Oh, you guys really like to forgive, don't you? We'll see next time somebody does something to you. All right. Bear with each other and do what? Forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. This is not a fair verse in Scripture. How in the world can you forgive someone who did something that's unforgivable? Didn't I just say that one out of every four young women will be sexually molested? How can I forgive that? That's not right. Scripture says, forgive how? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Those of you today, there are those of you who release that bag of unforgiveness, or at least have to look at it and maybe lay it down. Anybody ever played spades cards? I'm not a big card player, but I read some stuff about spades. And I'm told that in playing spades, whenever you have the trump card, which is what? I heard the ace of spades. Is that right? Queen? Okay, so you have the queen. All right, you have the queen. And when you throw that down, what happens? You win, right? Is that the one you win no matter what? Come on, help me out here. Okay, I see some people saying yes. Is the ace of spades? I thought. Well, one of the cards. Anyway, I had ace of spades. But when you throw that card down, you're automatically going to win at least one of the hands. Now, a lot of us go around with that trump card in our that ace of spades or whatever card in our hand, don't we? That we hold it here. And we'll deal with stuff in our lives. And a lot of people, when they're hurt, they hold that close to them. And they were like, bam, I'm going to hurt you. So you've given me this baggage, but I got this one here on you. I got this one here. There you go. Bam. There's your baggage. Ha-ha, right? And so we go ahead, and what we end up doing is we take our baggage and we end up handing it to others, don't we? And we say, yeah, you know what? You were so bad. Here you go. Oh, and you know what? And so we get more and more, and we begin to hand more and more baggage, right? Oh, yeah, you look at me like that again, Becky? There you go. Right? This is what we do. We keep those trump cards with us all the time. I should have made you sit the rest of the service like that. We keep, look, you tried to put it down right away. I'll give it back to you, all right? Did you find anything good in there?
No.
Did I leave any money in there? Okay. But that's what we do in life a lot of times. We say, you can hurt me. You can wound me. You're unfair to me. And this gives me the right to hurt you back. I can gossip about you. I can lie about you. I can spread rumors about you. I can be bitter about you. And if you ever get hurt, I can get really happy that you're hurt and suffering. Now, I know nobody in here has ever rejoiced in the fact that somebody who hurt you is suffering, right? Maybe just a little. It's the offense, the trump card. Just because someone has sinned against you, according to Christ, it does not justify your sinful behavior back. Because someone has sinned against you, it doesn't give you the right to hurt those around you. You need to let it go. What I've realized is that there's a better way to do life, and I struggle with it, I'll be honest. I'm convinced that some people in life just go around looking for ways to be offended. They're looking for ways to be upset at people. It may seem incredibly ridiculous when there's a magnitude of some offense that they've done to you that you're to forgive them. Yet we are to forgive as Jesus forgave. And when he was beaten, and when he was despised, and when he was spit upon on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." We have no excuse with our baggage. We can carry it around. And you see what's happened here? It's a mess. And we can't even walk around in our lives. We can't even, how can we follow God's path if our baggage is always in the way? And we can't just step over it because the baggage gets too high and then we just kind of got to pick it all up and we try to adjust it all and find a way that we can. Here, wait, let me see how. Oh, this one has straps on. I can carry it around here like this. And Jesus said, "Go meet my hands and feet. Go love those who are unlovable. Go help the poor and needy. Go tell somebody about me. Hey, love Jesus. Go ahead, love him." Right? I can't even hug you like this. I can't even be hugged. I just got to carry this around every day. And it gets weighty. It gets really weighty. So what does he say? Let it go. Let it go. All that baggage that we carry around life does nothing but hurt us and keep us from forgiving as Jesus forgave us. Father, forgive them. Takeaway today. Here's your takeaway today. You're going to ask, before I give you that, I almost skip one. Who do you need to forgive? Oh, that's the worst blank on the whole thing, isn't it? Who do you need to forgive? And then the takeaway today is this, and I want you to say this. I walked in with some baggage. Go ahead. And I need to lay it down. I walked in some baggage. It's time to lay it down. You know what it is because I gave you the blanks. How do we do that? God, renew my mind with your truth. God, restore that which has been lost. And by your power, God, help me release my wrongdoer. Whatever bags you still carry today, lay them down. Lay them down. Amen? All right. I'm going to ask that you stand as our worship team comes up. I'm going to take a quick drink, and we're going to pray. As we pray, Lord God, I just ask that in your presence that you would do a healing work as only you can do. Baggage isn't easy to get rid of. It just stays there, and we continue to deal with it. And we say we've got it, and then before you know it, we don't. And so, first thing we need to do, God, is acknowledge our baggage. Maybe for you, it's the wrong mindset. Maybe it's something you lost. Maybe you're holding on to bitterness, resentment. Let it go. Let it go. God, help me forgive where you can't forgive. If you've got a bag or maybe more in one of these areas today, you're going to lay it down, and I'd like you to say, you know, Jesus, yes, God, I want to lay it down at the foot of the cross. And if that's who you are, and you just want to lay down some of that baggage, and, you know, you may have come here today not thinking you had this baggage, but here you are, and you're like, all right, I got baggage. If you just want to release that baggage and lay it down with everybody's eyes closed, just kind of raise your hand up where you are, even if you're at home or traveling. Just, there you go. That's awesome. And so, God, I just pray that they'll just trust you in leaving that baggage where they are. And if you've not been a Christ follower, which is the term for that is you're lost, that you may have tried for filling gaps in something else where you've tried material possessions, popularity, relationships, maybe some other kind of thing to fill the void, and you've tried everything and you're still empty, realize that God, through his son Jesus Christ, wants you to come as you are, bags and all, and just leave it there. Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and those who are worn out, those who are broken, those who are heavy laden, those who are burdened by sin and guilt, those who have baggage and just leave it here. Come as you are, and I will give you rest. And so, Lord, I pray for each of those people who are coming to you now in the silence of this room right now. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't come for the religious establishment that was so messed up. He didn't come for those who were healthy. He came for those who were sick. Jesus is your answer, and today, call on his name. And the Bible says when you do, when you call on his name, believing he is the Son of God, and he gave his life for you, and he rose from the dead, every single one of your sins will completely be forgiven, and you are made new, and they throw a party for you in heaven. And so if that's where you are, just say this to yourself. Heavenly Father, I am ready to give my life to you, my whole life, my baggage and everything. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, you are it. Forgive me. Make me brand new. I know that you died for me, that I could live for you. I surrender every ounce of my baggage in my life to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that the Stephen ministers come up, and they'll be available to pray with you during this time.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the
come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne, in Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm.
Sing it.
Cornerstone, weak made
strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Lord God, I just want to pray for everybody here who may be dealing with the storm in life or the baggage or whatever you want to call it, God, that we put all our hope and faith in you. And that's what we have, and no matter what it is, God, just be with us this week and strengthen us no matter where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, next week, emotional baggage. Look at the person next to you, say, woohoo, emotional baggage. Have a great week. God bless.